to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, third hour, third and final hour now upon us here tonight, yet again on the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards here with you, co-hosting with me this hour and the previous hour, Winston Smith. It's Saturday evening, October the 2nd, and we're broadcasting to you live from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to our AM-FM affiliate stations on the Liberty News Radio Network and streaming live online at thepoliticalcesspool.org, where in addition to our weekly simulcast, you can catch our broadcast archives on demand anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Been a busy night, busy week for us here at TPC. Merlin Miller, what a great guest. Check out his work at Americana Pictures, americana-pictures.com on the internet. And I want to thank Keith Alexander also for the contributions he made to the show tonight. Been a great show. It's always a great show, but been an even better week. Winston, we covered it at the very top of the hour back in the first hour. I want to cover it with you now. As you know, we had a record-breaking night a week ago with Nick Griffin. So many people listening to the live internet stream that Liberty News Radio just, you know, went offline for a minute or two. Just so many people. Got an interview with Jeff Rentz on Tuesday to his massive audience. Was received very, very warmly. He gave me a very flattering introduction. Talked about all the issues we talk about here on the radio program. He plugged the book. He plugged the book almost as good as you do. And he plugged the show. That was a lot of fun. And then Rachel Maddow. All of that in a week. What do you make of the Rachel Maddow stuff? Or Rachel Madcow?
What do I make of Rachel Maddow? You know, she is a poster child for everything that is wrong with the mainstream media. But I'm not certain how mainstream she is, James. I mean, she's on a network that has probably 300 viewers. she is the epitome of what is wrong with the American media today. She's a condescending, snipey, snarky, well, you know, she's a lesbian, of course, and she's a Jewess. She is the most politically correct and most desirable person to have in the media today. I mean, what more could a network ask for but a lesbian Jew to be one of their front people? but you listen to her talk, and there's that typical Marxist liberal condescension. There's that feeling that she has her little worldview, her little whimsical worldview, and anything that doesn't fit into that worldview is either illegitimate or insane or somehow unworthy. I just can't say it any way other than to say she is the epitome of all that is wrong in American media today.
But, of course, she only speaks for a very, very small minority of people who have gravitated towards the top of all of our institutions. Now, compare and contrast that to the political cesspool, who speaks for traditional Americans and for the American majority. Despite the way that we're presented by people like Maddow, we are a voice for paleoconservatives. And let's face it, most Americans still fundamentally believe in many of the same ideas that we advance on this program. But I got to read this from Cast Football real quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. We spent a lot of time on it during the first hour. But this Rachel Maddow thing, more international publicity for the political cesspool. It's becoming very common this year that we receive this type of attention. The political cesspool star continues to climb. But this is what Cast Football was also denounced during her commentary, if you want to call it that, earlier this week. This is what Don Wassel wrote, good friend of mine. The female version of Keith Olbermann devoted 7 minutes to smearing Cast Football on her show on MSNBC. The lead to her show was devoted to excitedly promising an expose of white supremacist football which she promoted as a teaser throughout the show at various times, saving the smear for the final segment. This forced me, Don writes, to sit through 60 minutes of her rapid-fire, silly rants denouncing conservative Republicans as extremists. The word extreme had to be used at least 25 times, while boosting the virtues of Democrats, the typical propaganda slant that there is a huge difference between the Dems and the Republicans, and that only the Democrats can save the company, save the country, I should say, from the radical Republicans. Yawn. Through her apparent caffeine-fueled rapid speaking style, made it hard to sleep, only to look on and wonder at this bizarre spewer of sophomoric ultra-left talking points. I kept thinking of Keith Olbermann in a dress, though the 5'11" Maddow could probably beat up Keith Olbermann in about 10 seconds. The smear of Cast Football was nonsensical, even for a liberal. The Cast Football homepage was shown on a large screen, then eventually scrolled down very slowly as Maddow read amusing tidbits from some of the team previews. She found that the fact that we look at NFL teams from a racial perspective disturbing, but hilarious, calling the site barely legal to show on television and crazy racist nonsense. The impetus behind the attack was to go after Jim Russell, a GOP candidate, a congressional candidate in New York, who years ago wrote an article for the Occidental Quarterly described merely as a racist publication. Maddow found an ad for the Occidental Quarterly on James Edwards' political cesspool site. Edwards was likewise described merely as a racist talk show host, which also has an ad for Cast Football. And we do, there at thepoliticalcesspool.org, great website. That was the sum total of her evidence that linked Jim Russell to Cast Football, the fact that the political cesspool had an ad for Cast Football and had spoken favorably about Jim Russell. Sherlock Holmes would have been proud. Maddow is an outspoken advocate of a very real and dangerous racism, Jewish supremacism, a.k.a. Zionism. But, of course, that is never mentioned in her nightly 60-minute smirkathon. Hey, Don Wassel hit it, Winston. Don Wassel nailed it. That was it.
We said it better ourselves. That was an excellent read too, James. But Olbermann in a dress. the thing is, it sounds possible, you know.
that's about it. So anyway, folks, I want to thank again. You know, all of these accolades and all of this constant media attention that we receive, and the celebrity, be it notorious or what, I don't know. Everything that we've accomplished here, let me just put it this way. We say it every week, but it's got to be said every week because it comes from the heart. It's all you. You know, the people who support this show, the people who tune in and pray for us and support us however they can, this is anything that we achieve is your achievement, and we really mean that. And we got a lot more on the plate tonight. We're about to take a break. Been a big week for the cesspool. We are excited about that. It's been a big year. Been a big 6 years, and don't forget, Political Cesspool will be celebrating a birthday on October 26th, so it's in our birth month. Political Cesspool,
we'll,
first one on the air.
We'll invite Rachel Maddow on the
show.
Yeah,
we're going to have to. She can bring the cake. Maybe her girlfriend can cook it.
Oh my gosh, if she doesn't eat it first.
Oh, listen, folks, if you didn't hear the first segment, if you didn't hear the first hour, you got to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and get a load of Rachel Maddow's girlfriend. Got to catch it.
Man.
But anyway, hey, we're celebrating a birthday on October 26th, so get ready for cupcakes and all that good stuff. We first went on the air October 26, 2004. Birthday's coming up. Going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we always talk about how here in the political cesspool, contrary to how the radical Zionist extremists in our media would portray our message, we really speak a message of paleoconservatism that is accepted by traditional Americans across the country. And believe me, there's more people on our side than is on theirs. The natives are getting restless. You know, we talked about Jim Russell, this conservative Republican who Rachel Maddow has taken such offense to. He's been vilified and denounced by the Republican Party because he wrote that opposition to interracial marriage is perfectly healthy and natural, and white parents have an obligation to their kids to encourage them to marry other whites. If a black man had said that about black parents, the GOP would be calling him a hero. And as we've pointed out, Jews say this kind of stuff all the time, even in full-page ads in the New York Times, and the entire state of Israel is pretty much based on it. It's an apartheid state, but the GOP never seems to be outraged when Jews and blacks and Hispanics and other non-whites reject racial amalgamation and talk about their desire to preserve their heritage. It's only when white people do it that it's evil. Well, I did a little research, and once again, my hunch has been proven right. When you check out the comments on the story that appeared in the New York Times about the Republican Party denouncing Jim Russell's views, you'll see a whole bunch of white people who are fed up with this blatant double standard, just like we are here at the Political Cesspool. More and more newspapers employ people whose job it is to monitor reader response to their stories and delete the ones that don't adhere to left-wing politically correct standards. In fact, many papers these days automatically shut off the comment features on certain stories because they see how many readers are writing politically incorrect comments, and they'd rather stifle free speech, Winston, than allow people to express any thoughts that Martin Luther King wouldn't have approved of.
Oh, you're absolutely right, James. We're going to talk about it. When did you want to talk about the David Duke situation? Next segment or this segment?
Well, we're going to do it right now, but I want to say one more thing about this first. And this just goes to show what Winston's about to bring up is another form of censorship that people who advance a traditional message of Americana are faced with. But you see all of these stories, and then you read the comments below them, and if they don't shut them down, you read that most people believe just like we do. And that's normal. It's normal. But here's one that doesn't. I got to bring this up. LeBron James. And I'm going to make a point with this. This will be congruent to the theme of this segment, but between his basketball salary and his various endorsement deals, LeBron James makes $30 or $40 million every year. Yet somehow he just came out on CNN last week and says he's the victim of racism. Okay, he makes $40 million a year, yet he is the victim of racism because he saw that his approval rating among European Americans dipped when he left the Cleveland Cavaliers to join a decked team in Miami. If you follow basketball, he was drafted by Cleveland. He was born in Cleveland. He never could win a title in Cleveland. So now LeBron James is going to a team in Miami that has several other all-stars. And as a result of spurning his hometown team, his publicity, and the way he did it on national television. He did it in the most juvenile way you could imagine. So naturally, his approval rating has taken a dip. Well, he says that's because whites are racist. And he said it on primetime on CNN. He said race is a factor here. So, you know, Winston, something tells me it's going to be a long, long time before we actually achieve a quote-unquote post-racial America. It's going to be even a longer time before we eliminate the achievement gap, but that's another issue altogether. But again, if you check out the comments about this LeBron James story on CNN.com, you'll see once again that a lot of white folks are getting really sick of this garbage. And that's how it dovetails in with the Jim Russell thing. And really all of these stories that have a racial element affixed to it, you know, people see through this double standard. Just because it's saturated in the media, a certain perspective, doesn't mean the people reading these stories or listening to these stories or viewing these stories shares the opinion of the author or the host. We are evidence to that by our very existence, but it's good to see these comment boxes being filled up with people who share our ideas. And Winston, that's the point. But do you have a Indeed. Comment on LeBron James real quick? I mean, $40 million and he's a victim of racism. If he's a victim of racism, let me be a victim too.
Yeah,
you know, sign me up for slavery. What'd you say?
It's, you know, LeBron James, what can you say? He is a thoughtful social analyst. He is a scholarly commentator on the issues of the day. And by golly, when this guy who makes $30 or $40 million a year throwing a ball into a hoop says he's the victim of racism. Well, by golly, we better believe it, and we got to do something about this. And the thing to do is to buy a copy of Racism Schmaces. Order your copy at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org, $24.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling.
Actually, Winston, for once, you plugged the book at an appropriate time. I would like someone to buy the book and send it to LeBron James, courtesy of the Miami Heat. And maybe he can be a little bit smarter of a guy. But listen, if getting paid $40 million a year is evidence of the racism in this country, then you know, sign me up for bondage somewhere. Come on, it's got.
I'm there.
I want to be a victim. I want to be a victim of that kind of racism. But Winston, we're talking about censorship. We're talking about a lot of things right now. Is there any way you can tie in what's happened to David Duke with what we've been talking about here?
Oh, easily. There's this, well, first of all, let me say this, for quite some time, I mean, since I've been on the political cesspool, James, we have, occasionally talked about, how there are, Jewish organizations who are scouring the internet and scrubbing the internet of any kind of negative reference to Israel or any sort of criticism of Jews. And when you say something like that, James, you get called a racist, you get called an anti-Semite, you get called a Nazi who wants to gas 6 million Jews. You get called all the standard, filthy names. Well, lo and behold, ever since the year 2000, there has been a group called the Jewish Internet Defense Force that has been doing exactly what we've been saying Jews have been doing. And this week, they are now wallowing in their greatest, victory. And when I say wallowing, I mean wallowing like the pigs they are in the mud they inhabit. Here's what their site says. Success. We finally took out the anti-Semitic racist David Duke YouTube channel. Well, the anti-Semitic and neo-Nazi forums are abuzz. The David Duke YouTube channel has now finally been eliminated. It just goes to show hard work, determination, and patience pay off. We've urged our supporters to report the David Duke YouTube channel for quite some time. They go on to mention that they've sent thousands of complaints against David Duke's YouTube channel, and now they finally got him on the air.
Well, you know, and Winston,
got him off the internet.
Yeah, Winston, we've seen this time and time again, and we've brought this stuff up. And of course, it's time for my disclaimer here that not all Jews are a part of this. There are people like Brother Nathaniel and Paul Gottfried that are advancing a good, wholesome message. But you know, by and large, when censorship of this nature presents itself, normally, you do find a radical Jew or a Zionist behind it, and it's happened to us on Facebook. Now David Duke's website is still up, of course, but his YouTube channel has been shut down because, of course, he doesn't own that. And they did the same thing to us, Winston, on Facebook. The Political Cesspool's Facebook page had a couple of thousand listeners. We had accumulated. We just opened it up, I think, late last year, early this year, something like that. I know we're about to go to break. I hear our producer in my ear, but we accumulated a couple of thousand followers in just a short amount of time, a couple of weeks, and instantly, just one day, it was gone. And so, it's these organizations exist, and people, there are these people whose sole purpose is to go out there and scrub the internet of freedom of ideas they don't like. And you know, I tell you, whoever is behind that is certainly behind Wikipedia. But that, too, is another story. And, Winston, I know you have some very passionate thoughts about that. I hear our music. Got to take a break. We'll be back. We'll be back.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we're starting to round third base and head for home plate as another broadcast of the political cesspool starts to come to a close. About a half hour left in tonight's show. And Winston, I hear we have the poet laureate of the political cesspool on the line with us now.
Yes, we do. We have a young man who is going by the name William Rome. He has been known by another name, but he has had some success using the name William Rome, and so that's what we're going to call him. If you don't like it, too bad. So, It's my pleasure now to welcome my good friend and, as James said, a poet lawyer, poet laureate of the Political Cesspool, William Rome. William, you there?
I am here, Winston. Good to talk to you.
Well, it's always my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to get your emails, and it's always a pleasure to get updates on your work, which is considerable, it is substantive, and I cannot wait for it to be published. You know, there's a,
thank you.
We had another great book published, this week, White Apocalypse by our friend Kyle Bristow. And, I'm looking forward to yours being published. But, let's start off by just catching up with you. What have you been up to lately?
Most of this year, since the beginning of the year, I was down in the Charlottesville area of Virginia. I was doing, work with Hunter Wallace of, Occidental Descent. We and him were the ones that ambushed and videotaped Jeffrey M after the Ameren conference, and we've done a couple other things, and I've been home recently and I'm about to move back to Virginia, actually.
Yeah, we've talked about that. I look forward to finally meeting you face-to-face. Folks, in this movement, you know, we do a lot of communicating with each other via phone and Internet, and so many of the people that I know, and I think I know them well, I know them only over the Internet, and William there has been in the presence of all the Political Cesspool staff except yours truly, and that's a shame, because if he hasn't met Winston Smith, well, he hasn't really met the Political Cesspool.
That's a fact.
Well, I feel pretty deprived because of it, so.
Well, at least you got to take one of Keith Alexander's tours of the soft underbelly of Memphis, and that's got to be worth something to you.
That was kind of scary at times, for the parts he took us to.
I'm telling you, the man knows where the bodies are buried, and you got to wonder about him.
He does.
Now, you, William, you are a prolific writer of epic poetry, and you've been working on something for quite some time, and I've been as honored as I can be to be a part of it. You've asked me to write the introduction of it, and I will gladly do so. But it's called The Great Trek. And can you give our listeners an idea of what that's about?
Well, yes, it's called The Legend of the Great Trek. And what it's about is it's about a young prince named Andreas who is part of this empire that stretches, this greatest empire of his day. And the empire collapses and is conquered. And what he does is, after a vision from God, he leads his people to a new homeland over the seas and the mountains and the hills.
Folks,
it's journey from the fall of the empire to the new homeland.
Mm-hmm. Folks, as I said, I've been privileged to read this work as Mr. Rome has been working on it, and I have to tell you, as a man with an English degree who loves literature, who actually I thrive on literature, this is an epic poem of a Dante-esque proportion. This hearkens to Paradise Lost, Milton's Paradise Lost. This is the kind of thing that Merlin Miller really ought to be looking at. This would make a superb movie, and I urge you to keep your eye out for the publication of The Legend of the Great Trek. It is soul-stirring, and it's something that's badly needed in our day. It's an art form that has been lost among our people who invented the thing. We invented the epic poem, and now William Rome is bringing it back, and I'm proud to say that I am loosely associated with it. But I have to tell you, William, may I call you Bill?
Oh, yeah, somebody told me that in the show when I was on it.
I have to tell you, your talent is enormous. Look, let me ask you how you developed this interest in that sort of epic poetry.
Well, as I said last time I was on, I've said this to many people, I fell in love with storytelling and writing in the first grade when our teacher read us The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. And since then it's developed, but it really happened in the in high school, in 11th grade, when I took a creative writing class, and I was introduced to the Romantics, Byron, Keats, Shelley, the Gothic works, those like, say, Melmoth the Wanderer, and this kind of thing, for the prose things. And that's when I really started getting into poetry. And since then, it branched off. I read The Divine Comedy. I read Paradise Lost, The Aeneid. I've always loved The Odyssey. That's been a big influence on me since I was little as well. I forgot to mention that. So it's really in the last decade or so that I really started to develop this this interest, excuse me, in narrative and epic poetry, because it's a storytelling medium. There's films, a storytelling medium, novels are storytelling medium, and epic poetry is a storytelling medium. And I think it's awesome. It's one of our most originals as people of the West.
I couldn't agree with you more. And folks, I want to tell you that within a few days, you're going to see some extracts of this epic from William Rome on the Political Cesspool website. If I can ever just find the time from my job to sit down and put the thing together, but it's going to be on the Political Cesspool website within a few days. And I urge you to keep your eye out for it. This is the kind of thing that our people used to live for. Our people used to, if you were to be considered a man of any stature, you had to be able to handle sword and verse with equal ability. And I just, William, every time you send me a new chapter of the Legend of the Great Trek, it stirs my soul. And I congratulate you on it. Now you've also set up a website for paleo conservative and like-minded artsy people, shall I say. I would like to say I'm one of the artsy fartsy people, but I'm still to the fartsy side of it, you know. Can you say that on the air, James?
I hope.
Okay. Well, Denny will take care of it if we can. But you have an excellent website, and it's called The Radical Rhymesters. Great title. Tell us about that.
Well, I've been in the movement, the paleoconservative. I actually like to use the term, I call myself a patriotic populist, but I love Richard Spencer's term alternative right. And this goes back into why I created the website. On the right, we're very much obsessed with politics. Now, as anybody who knows me knows, I'm a big fan of Pat Buchanan. But one thing he got very much wrong was the idea of how to fight the culture war. For him to fight the culture war, he had the diagnosis right, but for him to fight, you had to get to elected office and then change the culture from elected office. No, it's not fought like that. You have to fight the culture with culture. You have to fight film with film, novels with novels. And so what I wanted to do on the alternative right artistic side was create Radical Rhymesters. And what it is it's a website for artists on the right who don't like the politically correct corporate culture that dominates our world. You know, as a Femme Inaugural podcast, I'm tired of hearing Katy Perry and Lady Gaga every time I turn on the radio. I'm tired of the same old garbage from Hollywood. Tired of a production of the vagina monologues every semester on campus. And the problem is there are cultural gatekeepers that control our culture. And so I want this to be a little outpost for those who defy this establishment and want to tell heroic stories, want to sing patriotic songs, want to paint beautiful pictures, this kind of thing. So I created this for young artists who are just tired of what's being shoved down their throats today in order to inspire us. I want it to be kind of like a cultural arm of our movement, which has not been done before.
Well, there you have it, folks, right here on the Political Cesspool. William Rome talking smack to Pat Buchanan. Where else are you going to see that?
I love Pat, but you just got that one wrong.
Talking smack to Pat Buchanan. You got a lot of nerve, man. Well, look, you have also done some podcasts. You've done interviews with some notable people, not the least of which is Mr. Merlin Miller, who we have.
Winston, hold on right there, because we're about to open up another can of worms with Mr. Rome here, and this is going to be exciting because, you know, podcasts we like. We like books, too. We like it all, and William Rome covers it all. We're going to learn more about what he's doing right after this, but work must intrude, and we got to hear from our sponsors. So, ladies and gentlemen, oh, by the way, we got about 20 seconds to break, actually. I want to remind you that the Political Cesspool Video Project, since we're talking about ways to advance our ideas through media, the Political Cesspool Video Project that we're very excited about, just days away now. We've been plugging it on our blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org for the last couple of weeks, and we are about to start unveiling the first videos in a matter of days. So stay tuned. A lot of exciting stuff happening as we head into the fall. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang, call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
One more segment, everybody. One more segment in tonight's show, and let's take advantage of it. Winston, back over to you and our guest.
Thanks, James. William, we were talking about your excellent website, Radical Rhymesters, and the podcast you've done, and the interviews you've had. Probably the most sterling one you've ever had was with one Winston Smith from a little radio show called The Political Cesspool. But you've also interviewed Merlin Miller. Who else have you interviewed?
Well, those are the only two I've posted so far. On Monday, actually, I'm posting an interview with Derek Black about his music, because anybody went to the past Council of Conservative Citizens Conference, he performed there, so I'm going to talk about his music and the comedy he does on his radio show, which adds to the entertainment and culture value. And I'm also talking, they have to get back to me within the next few days, to the girls from Heritage Connection. Have them on.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I know those two gals. They're very good. And Derek Black, folks, if you don't know Derek Black, like I'm privileged to, he is a superb guitarist. Yeah. I like to think of myself as a pretty good guitarist myself, but Derek Black, he is exceptionally talented. There are so many talented people in our movement, and not just in movement related activities. You know, we all have lives away from the microphones and away from the keyboards. And Derek Black is one of them. He is a superb guitarist, so I urge you to keep an eye out for that interview and to access it.
And this is a good if I can interject here, guys, this is
no, you can't.
Well, it's a pretty good website. A good website here, Radical Rhymes. It took me a minute to find it because rhyme's a hard word to spell, so I had to Google it. But I did find it, and I see it right here. Merlin Miller, I see Winston Smith. Not only an interview with Winston Smith, but also an article by Winston Smith.
Yes, that was a short story Winston gave me a while back. It's absolutely wonderful. As we talked about in the podcast, Winston Smith of Hulu Festival is a great short story writer. As I say, it's great in the traditional short story style, say, James Joyce with the Dubliners about everyday life. And that's the kind of thing we want. We want original pieces. Because there are artistic people out there, and I actually went to a small art school where I took film, and there are a lot out there. It's actually a good coincidence. Excuse me. I actually went to my school. I went to college in the same district Jim Russell is running for right now. So the coincidence tonight.
William, you want people, you want artistic people in our movement to contribute their material to the website, and I suppose you have a plan for making an outlet for people to sell their work for artists and musicians.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what is your website address? Where can people find it? And how can they go about contributing material? And what do you see as the purpose of Radical Rhymesters? What do you intend to do with it?
Well, the web address, the address is www.radical Rhymesters, Rhymesters, .wordpress.com, or you can Google Radical Rhymesters, which would be the one of the first searches, and you can contact me. There's a contact tag on the page, contact, and it's willierome@gmail.com, willierome@gmail.com.
What kind of material are you looking for? Are you looking for artwork? You're looking for music? You're looking for prose and poetry?
I'm looking for it all, and this goes back to the purpose of it. I think culture, I agree with Alex Kurdjieck and Jonathan Bowden in England at this point. The culture is more important than politics and, say, party politics. Because I think what culture does is reinforce our identity. And I think once you know what your identity is and you love your identity, your politics will naturally flow from it. In the sense that if you're a proud European American, you will oppose policies that go against your European American interests. If you're a proud American, you will oppose policies that goes against your American interest and identity. If you're a proud Christian, you will oppose policies that goes against your Christian identity. We see this all the time. It's a cliche that I've come up with sometimes, in that if you look at the Civil Rights Movement, the Civil Rights Movement was really only possible because of the Harlem Renaissance. What the Harlem Renaissance did, it gave blacks for the first time in America a cultural identity of their own. They said, look, this is what we're capable of, this is what we create, this is who we are. and the civil rights movement was born from saying, we're going to defend and push for who we are. So I say, for our movement, the alternative right, the paleoconservative movement, we need our own Harlem Renaissance before we can hope for our own civil rights movement.
You don't have any smackdown for Alex Kurdjic?
He's a fellow author, so I can't say anything.
Well, Pat's a fellow author, too.
You've talked with Tom Sunic, have you not?
I did. I was on his show a couple weeks ago.
But you're in a short amount of time, you're quite the
name.
He's
everywhere. Drama. He's everywhere. What is this? I wish I had that. If I wish I had that kind of energy.
I look at it this way. I'm going to drop another name. When Richard Spencer first came out with Alternative Right, he said he wanted to be the William F. Buckley of the Alternative Right, or as he said, the Extreme Right. I look at myself, I kind of want to be the William Butler Yeats or the Langston Hughes of the Alternative Right, in the sense that I want to try to ferment a cultural revolution that celebrates who we are and what we love in order to advance our interests, because you need that cultural wing. As I said with Merlin in our podcast, you can access that on the website, the most powerful piece of the 60s was not any political speech. It was To Kill a Mockingbird, the film To Kill a Mockingbird. I talked to many baby boomers, and they said To Kill a Mockingbird made the idea of race in the South, the image of race in the South, in an entire generation.
Which, by the way, speaking from a purely philological standpoint, is a piece of garbage. All right, one more time. Where can people go to Radical Rhymesters?
It is Radical Rhymesters, RadicalRhymesters.wordpress.com, or you can Google Radical Rhymesters.
And it says it's an artistic alternative to the corporate-financed PC establishment. You got a lot of stuff on there. You got video. You obviously got writing. You've got a lot of music. And there's going to be more. Now, let me ask you this. You've bounced around a couple of names, people that have interviewed you, people you've interviewed. Who would be some of your who are some of the people you're going to reach out to as Radical Rhymesters continues to increase its presence? Who are some of the guests you'd like to have on?
Well, let me interject something right quick. William, that was James's way of saying, hey, when are you going to interview me, you schlub?
I like to have on people who have done things. I like to have on Jonathan Bowden, who's very much, if you go to his website, he's done some great cultural speeches and artwork of his own. I like to have Alex Kurdjic and a CD you guys actually gave me a while back. I like to have on Traven Tucker, who is a great musician, this kind of thing.
There's a lot of people out there and a lot of people that are contributing to the arts. Merlin Miller, of course, he's already been interviewed, but in arts can include, of course, literature, music, video, film. And we need a website like this. I think it's important. We need to be everywhere, just like the enemy is everywhere. And I appreciate you, William, for bringing something to the table that does something unique for people, because I'm not sure if there's very many other websites that are comparable to that which you're trying to establish. And it's exciting. It's exciting that there's another original out there.
And one thing I wanted to do with the site is, some people have asked me why I picked the layout I did. I picked the pictures, and the layout isn't from inside the Moulin Rouge, because I wanted it to be a place to have fun. Because sometimes, you know, the right gives itself a bad image in the sense that we're all dour, we're always complaining about everything.
Absolutely.
We actually have a lot of fun. So I want this place, you know what, come here and celebrate and have a good time with who you are, with original works about who you are.
Yeah, it's great. And I appreciate the fact that you put a pub up there, because we like to drink. That's for sure. If anyone has ever been to a CFCC meeting can attest. And, William, I know you were there last year in Nashville, or earlier this year, I should say, back in June. There's a lot of good times to be had at that conference. And there is a lot of good times to be had at all of our functions. People need to come out and see what we're all about. We're just like everybody else, except we have the courage to go out and talk about it. That's all.
And also, unlike everybody else, we're right.
Well, that's true. Well, when I say everybody else, I'm talking about traditional Americans who agree with us. I think we only got about a minute left. But anyway, William, thanks for coming on tonight. Great to hear from you. Folks, check out RadicalRhymesters.com. That's it.
Yeah.
Winston, good show. Thanks for bringing William Rome, the work of William Rome, and Radical Rhymesters to our program tonight. Very informative. Political Cesspool is going to be on the road next week, back up in Nashville. Back in Nashville. Going to be doing a show. So tune in. You'll never know what we're going to have. Anytime we take our show on the road, you never know who's going to pop in. So I don't even know what's going to happen next week, other than the fact that at Saturday night at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time, I will be on this broadcast to bring you another live, riveting installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. For Winston Smith, Keith Alexander, and the co-hosts who weren't on the air tonight, Eddie the Bombardier Miller and Bill Rowland, I'm your host, James Edwards. Live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. God bless you, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.